If you have a Bible, I would love for you to open to the book of Romans, all right? Find the book of Romans, and we're going to be in chapter 12, just like we were last week. Romans, second part of your Bible, right? In the New Testament, we have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Those are the life of Jesus, right? Then we have the book of Acts, which is the early church, and then right after Acts, we have the book of Romans. So find that one. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Well, this morning is the second and final message in this mini-series that we've titled, No Offense. No Offense. And the idea of these two messages came about when Aaron, who spoke last week, Aaron and I, we listened to a message from Craig Rochelle. Craig Rochelle is the pastor of this amazing church in Oklahoma City. It's called Life Church. If you have the YouVersion Bible app on your phone, this is the church that put that Bible out for all of us for free. So he was talking about this topic of being offensive and offending others, and it triggered some feelings inside of me, some thoughts inside of me, because this has been something that I have thought has been a huge problem for such a long time. I say it quite often, like, we're so offendable, and that's like the biggest problem. And I'm convinced that the biggest problem with 2020 was not COVID. It wasn't the crazy election stuff. It wasn't the racial tensions. It wasn't even the murder hornets. I'm convinced that the biggest problem in 2020 was the division that all of these things promoted, the division. See, there's always been certain things that you don't talk about around the dinner table, right? You know, these things that if you don't want your friends or family to get angry with you or to get offended, you don't talk about these things. Usually it's politics and religion. You don't talk about those things at the dinner table because you want to have a civil conversation. But 2020 added so many more topics that shouldn't be talked about unless you want to offend someone or be offended. And with all of these issues come all of these experts, right? Experts. I'm obviously using that word experts sarcastically because we all think that YouTube video that we watched or that Facebook article that we read makes us experts. And now that everyone is an expert, and their opinion, of course, it's obviously the correct opinion, we have, and also, we have the ability to share with whoever we want, whenever we want, with the courage that comes from hiding behind a screen. We don't have to share our opinions face-to-face and worry about what this person is going to do or say or think or whatever. We have, because of all those things, we have some of the meanest people that I have ever seen now. I swear, it's so crazy. All of these things together has created some of the meanest people I have ever seen. And most of it is on social media. It feels like right now, we're living in a time where more than ever, people are taking offense over more and more issues than ever before. People are quick to anger, quick to judge, quick to take offense. You hurt me, you wronged me, I'm unfriending you, now don't ever look at me again, right? Like, that's the attitude that we have right now. So that's the basic idea of the two messages that we're looking at in this series. And if you missed the first part, let me get you caught up really quick. Last week, Erin, she talked about how sometimes those experts that I was talking about just a little bit ago, those experts are us. Sometimes we think that we have all the answers. We have the expert opinion. And those mean people that we talked about, they can be us. We can very easily become the person that thinks we are right, and the person thinks that we know what they are doing is wrong, and we got to tell them about that. We are compelled to share the truth with them. That's sarcasm again, right? Without love. But even if it's truth, it has to be shared with that love. And that was last week. We talked about being the offender. What is it? How can we make sure that we are not the offender? Well, this week, we're going to talk about how we can also be the offended and how that is just as unhealthy and hurtful as offending others. So I want to read our scripture to start off this morning. So would you please stand with me out of respect for God's word? We're going to read Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 18. And these verses are so powerful, they are going to speak directly to you without even any explanation. But let's read this and talk through it. The Apostle Paul says this: don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Verse 15, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. God plans for your... I lost my spot here. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Did you hear that? Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. What a powerful scripture. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we need your guidance today. We need to hear from you, not just my words coming out here, but also the voice. We need to hear the voice inside of us that convicts us, that guides us, that shows us the right way. So please speak to us today. Show us where we need to become more like Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. Amen. You can have a seat. All right, to get started here, I want to tell you a little story. And it's a little bit transparent because it's about me. I want to tell you a story to show you how being offended can affect things in a strong, strong way. There have been two times in recent times that I can remember being offended. Now, I'm not good at a lot of things maybe, but I do feel like I've worked really, really hard on not being offendable. And it might just be a blind spot of mine, but I was trying to think of times that I've been offended, and I could think of two times within the last like 10, 15 years where I've really been offended. Now, early on into being a pastor, I was a children's pastor for 8 years in Cold Spring, and just started there maybe a couple months in, or maybe 6 months in or something like that. And I got to meet some friends around town, and someone who did not go to our church, someone who didn't even really believe in God, came to me and asked for advice. All right, let me just set this up for you, okay? This person was in like right around 40 years old. They were in what I would call a white-collar kind of prominent position. And they came to a 22-year-old genius for advice. All right, think about that for a second. So they come to me and they ask for my advice, and I give them my advice. This is what I would do. I think this is the right thing that you should do. And a few days later, I find out that they totally ignored everything I said and they did the complete opposite. And I couldn't believe it. I was so angry. They asked for my opinion and then they totally threw it out the window. Obviously, they thought that I was an idiot. I was so offended. I thought, fine, you think I'm dumb? Let's not even waste time talking to each other. I'm obviously not worth it. So I got to the point where I even stopped taking their phone calls for a little while because I didn't want to waste my time, right? And many of you understand the feeling that I had, right? You're like, okay, I can see how you could feel that. But most of you know I was being an idiot, right? I was, you got to cut me some slack though. I was 22, right? I thought I knew it all, but knowing what I know now, I realize that my advice actually was very terrible. It was awful. If somebody gave me the advice that I gave that person, I would totally ignore that person as well. Like, it was stupid. I can't believe I even said that. So looking back on it, it's like, yes, you should have ignored me. But at the time, I was right, and you ignored me, and you basically called me an idiot, and no one deserves that. That's where I was at. So that was the first thing I was offended about. And the second thing that I was offended about, this is ridiculous. This was more recently, because everyone knows you don't do this. And I can't believe that someone said this to me. See, this girl walks up to me and she's like, hey, when are you due? And I'm like, come on. Everyone knows. No, okay. That was a joke, right? And obviously I'm not freaking, but you don't ask those things. Now, for real, here's what it seems like to me. It seems like people today are actively looking for someone to offend them. Doesn't it? It seems like everywhere you go, people are actively looking for someone to offend them. And when you search for offense like that, when you're looking for it, there's no question you're going to find it, because there are plenty of people who have different opinions and different thoughts, and without even trying, they're going to offend you if that's what you're looking for. And I really, really struggle with this thinking, because like I said, this is something I've worked really hard at. It takes a lot to offend me, at least I think it does, right? And that's I feel bad for people who are easily offended. I really do. I mean, do people really think that life is better if they live in this perpetual state of offense? I don't think anybody really, really thinks that, right? I've never heard anybody say, you know, my life is so much better when I'm just pissed off all the time. Nobody ever says that. It's just not how it works. So why do we as human beings live like this so often? Well, you might say, well, it just happens. It just happens. There's nothing I can do about it. But here's the deal. Being offended is a choice. Being offended is a choice. You have a choice to live like this or not. And you're probably thinking, you know what? I didn't have a choice when that jackwagon called me racist. I'm not racist. That offended me. Or I didn't have a choice when old lady Karen told me that I didn't care about others because I didn't wear my mask. That offended me. Or I didn't have a choice when I was called an idiot because of my beliefs. That offended me. I didn't have a choice. Guess what? Yes, you did. You had a choice. No one can offend you if you choose to not let them. Of course, they can say rude things to you, but it's your choice. You can choose to not be offended. You can choose to not let their ignorant comment ruin your day. You can choose to let it run off like the proverbial water off a duck's back, right? And there's a lot of you out there thinking right now, like, amen, that's right. Right on, preach it. But here's the problem. Many people don't realize how offendable they really are. And that's why I keep on saying, at least I don't think I'm offendable, right? Because sometimes we just don't know. So I want you to stop amening me in your head for a second, and I want us to take an honest look at ourselves this morning. Because maybe, just maybe, this is for you. And if you are so sure that you are not easily offended, let's look anyway, because we can all get better in these areas that we're going to talk about today. So what does it look like when we are offended? We're going to look at some examples of how this plays out in everyday life. Okay, number one is this. How about this? I overhear someone saying something bad about people like me, or I see a Facebook post that goes against an important organization or belief that I have. Okay, so for me, personally, this comes into effect like when people say things like, people who don't believe in evolution, they're ignorant. Christians, they're so judgmental. Pro-lifers, they're closed-minded. Okay, those are all things that I believe in, and I hear people say that all the time. So that's one way we could be offended, right? Or how about this? Someone blames me for something I didn't do. This drives me crazy. Or even worse, they say I didn't do something that I did do. Right? So don't lie. So-and-so heard you say that. Or you say you did it, but you really didn't. And you're like, yes, I did. Right? Or how about this? I do something nice for someone and they don't acknowledge it. That's offendable. You open the door and someone just walks right by without saying thank you. Or your boss is adamant that you did not do what he asked you to do, and you are adamant that he never asked you to do it. How many of you have ever had any thoughts or had anything like that happen to you? Anybody have those things? Yes, come on. It's crazy annoying. And I agree these things, they're so petty and they're so stupid. Why do people do these things to us? Last week we talked about how sometimes we're that person, right, that does those things. But those examples, they're not what it looks like to be offended. I can hear you thinking, wait, they're not? How are those? They're not. Those are situations that we often choose to be offended by. But a situation itself doesn't offend us. We choose to be offended, and then we react. So this is what it looks like when we are offended. See if any of these things, if you've ever said or done any of these things, right? I can't believe they said that about me. Okay? Or they think I'm stupid for believing that. Well, they're the stupid ones. I've seen a lot of that recently. How about, I can't believe they blamed me for that. I wasn't even there. Why can't they just keep their mouth shut? Or, you're welcome, Your Highness. Don't mind me. Walk right in. I've said that multiple times, right? Oh, yes, Your Majesty. being offended looks like responding in anger, looking for revenge, being selfish, holding a grudge. And that sounds exactly how God would want us to respond in those situations, doesn't it? And the answer there is no, right? This is the absolute opposite. The verse we read at the very beginning, Romans 12, I want to look at verse 17 quick. It says this, never pay back evil with more evil. Never pay back evil with more evil. How many times when someone does something to offend us, do we like, you know what, they did this to me, I'm getting them back. That's being offended. Or how about 1 Corinthians 13:5? Love is not irritable. It does not keep a record of wrongs. Holding on to that. Proverbs 12:16. A fool, I know we all love being called fools, right? I love that. A fool is quick-tempered. Ephesians 4:31. This could be my favorite one. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Like all of those things. I'm bitter because of what they said. I'm angry. I have rage. Harsh words. I slander them. All because of what they did or said to me. So if that's what being offended looks like, and God specifically talks about how we shouldn't respond that way, then how should we respond, right? That's a good question to follow up with. Okay, if we're not supposed to do that, then what should we do? We read the first half of Proverbs 12:16 just a second ago. A fool is quick-tempered. The second half says this, but a wise person stays calm when insulted. And that's hard to do. Or Colossians 3:13 says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Proverbs 19:11, sensible people control their temper. You are under control. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. Like overlooking wrongs equals does not get offended. So here's how we should maybe respond instead. You know what? I'm just going to stay calm. How about this? This next one's really, really hard. Do they have a valid point? When someone says something about you, I saw a movie one time where the guy says, if someone calls you a horse one time, you ignore him. If he calls you a horse a second time, you punch him in the mouth. If he calls you a horse the third time, you buy a saddle. Does this person have a valid point? I need to think about this. All right, I'm sorry you feel that way about me. Or tell me more about why you believe that. And here's another one. I guess we'll agree to disagree. And it's not like, well, I guess we'll agree to disagree. Okay, that's different. But you know what? Hey, I heard your side. You heard my side. It's okay if we don't agree. We don't have to agree about everything. We'll just agree to disagree on this. Right? That's okay. But today, it's not. If you don't have the same opinion as me, you're dumb. You're stupid. You're a jerk. But I guess we'll just agree to disagree. That's okay. How about this? I'm not going to let it bother me. And probably the hardest one, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's what it looks like to respond Now listen, I want to just quickly clarify something. I spoke this message last week in Long Prairie, and somebody came up to me afterwards, and they're like, man, this person, they're really terrible to me, and I just need to forgive. And I was like, okay, I know of this person's situation. I was like, but time out. There's a difference between not being offended and letting somebody walk all over you, right? There is a balance. Like, you don't have to let someone hurt you. You don't have to trust them all the time. But it doesn't mean you have to walk around just hurt and angry and bitter. There's a difference between distancing yourself from something that is harmful and not being offended, okay? I just wanted to throw that out there so you understand. You're not going out of here going like, well, that person's a total jackwagon to me all the time. I guess I just got to let him run me over, okay? That's not exactly how it works. Music team, will you please come at this time? All of these things that we just talked about, all of those responses, it just kind of points to the idea of staying calm and under control. Because when you lose control, when you lose your control, do you know who finds it? Satan. When you lose your control, the enemy can very easily find control over you and turn you into that offended, angry, bitter person. We need to stay in control. And I know that everyone loves to hear those words, control yourself. We hate that. But they are true to some extent, right? And here's some more words that we really don't like to hear, but they're true and they help in these situations. And guys, just a little disclaimer, don't ever say these to your wife. Calm down. Get over it. Okay, listen. We get offended by those words right there, but many times, that's what we need to do. I don't think I've ever heard those words said to me. Calm down. And I've been like, oh, I like that. It usually evokes the opposite response, right? Or, you need to get over it, bro. Oh, gee, thanks. That really helps a lot. But honestly, a lot of times, that's pretty much what we need to happen for us to not be offended. We need to stay calm, and we need to let it go. But the reality is this. We can't do that on our own. We can't respond to offense in the correct way when our feelings are running rampant. We need Jesus to help us be unoffendable. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. This verse doesn't mean you can fly or leap buildings or any of these physical things. It doesn't even mean that you can heal people at it all the time whenever you want or perform other miracles. That's not what this verse is talking about. This verse isn't talking about doing physically hard things. This verse is Paul talking about how he has learned to be content no matter what's going on in his life, because he finds his strength in God. We need Jesus to help us be unoffendable. The only way we don't let offense take hold of us is to find our strength in God. It means asking him for help when someone does something stupid, slowing us down, remembering what he tells us in his word, and then calmly responding. Because here's the deal. We have so many more important things to do than waste our time being offended, right? Listen to this. Your life is too short and your calling too big to be offended by something so small. Your life is too short. Your calling too big to be offended by something so small. And I wish I could take credit for that, but that's straight from Pastor Craig Rochelle right there. And when I heard him say that, I was like, people need to hear this. I in my story of this guy who asked for my advice, I let being offended get in the way of my relationship with that person who didn't take my advice. I let being offended keep me from sharing Jesus with this guy who didn't go to church, who didn't know God. Something as stupid as not taking my advice got in the way. I mean, really? Think about that for a second. Most of the things that we get offended by are so small. They aren't that big of a deal. Some things really are hurtful, and I understand that. Some things are important to fight for, but that doesn't mean we have to be hurt, and we don't have to be angry or vengeful. My life is too short. My calling, God's calling on my life, is so big, too big to be offended by something so small. I know that this is hard. It's hard to not get angry and vengeful when someone is just a jerk to you. It really is. It's hard to not feel bitterness towards people that like to push buttons. It's even harder to not be offended by those you love. All right, people in your same household many times are the people that offend you the most. Believe me, I know it's hard to stay calm and let it go, but it is so much better. Let me read these to you again. Proverbs 12, 16. A fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted. Colossians 3, 13. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Proverbs 19, 11. Sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. Jesus, I pray that 2021 would look different for us than 2020. And in so many ways, but especially in this area of being so offended, like our country, if you don't agree with me, you're wrong, you don't care, you're insensitive. God, I just pray that we could get over these things that are just so small in comparison to our calling. They're just so small when our life is so short. Help it to start right here. Every single person in this room, every single person watching this online, God, I pray that you would help us to do these things. I pray that you would help us to control our temper, to overlook wrongs, to make allowances for each other's faults, like to stay calm when insulted. Each and every one of us in this place, I pray, God, you would move. You would fill us with your love and your patience and your mercy for the people who like to just, God, we need you. We can't do it by ourselves. Help us, please. God, we beg you. Left to ourselves, we'll screw this up. We will hurt people. We will be hurt. Do something inside of us. Be with us always. Remind us of these things that we talked about today. One last thing before we go. If there is anyone that has the right to be offended, it's Jesus. He created us to be his children, to love us, and for us to love him in return. And when we didn't do a good job of that, God sent his son, Jesus, to die for us. He paid the ultimate sacrifice. And how do we respond to that? With more sin, with apathy, and betrayal. See, we're all sinners, every single one of us. We've all given God a reason to be offended by us. But God, in his infinite love and his mercy, has offered us forgiveness. There's this free gift of salvation. And all we have to do is simply believe in Jesus and make him the Lord of our lives. That means not living our way anymore, but living for him. We don't get to do this on our own. He becomes the leader. And it takes sacrifice. And it takes change, which is hard. And this may seem like a big ask, but man, if you knew the reward that came with this, you would understand it is so, so worth it. So here's the question, and I'd like everybody to just bow your head and close your eyes just for a time of privacy, time of reflection. If you're hearing my voice in any way, and you have never asked Jesus to forgive you, you've never made him the Lord of your life, or maybe you're just far from him right now and you want to come back to him in a whole new way. Like, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. If you want to do that today, I want you to just raise your hand. Keep it up for just a second so I can pray with you. If you're online, you can click a button right now that says respond or fill out a little card that says I responded to Jesus today. But if that's you in this place, would you just, yes, thank you. Is there anybody else who says that's me? I want to make that commitment today. This is the greatest thing that can ever happen. I want to pray a prayer together, and I want to pray this out loud. Everybody pray this along with me, and I want you to mean it with your whole heart, because these aren't magic words, but if when you say it out loud, it makes it so much more real. And the Bible even says to confess it with your mouth. So everybody in this place, mean it with your heart and pray this with me. Pray, God, I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for me. Jesus, I believe that you are my Savior. Please forgive me of my sins. Help me to live for you. Amen. Amen. Let's celebrate that together. Those that made that decision. Man, you don't understand how cool this is. This is so great. Like, there's people today who just made the decision that is going to bring them into eternity with Jesus today, as opposed to being separated. Like, what better thing could happen? So if that's you, awesome. So excited for you. Come and chat with me if you're here. If you're online, make sure you fill that out. We want to be able to follow up with you and chat with you about what this means. Before you go, if you'd like to continue to just spend some time with God, please feel free to do that. You can stay in your seats. You can come up here. We call this the altar, where you can just lay things down before Jesus. Make sure you don't just rush out of here if God has been speaking to you and you need to spend some time with him. Otherwise, you're dismissed. Have a great week.